Blog Talk Radio.
Live bringing you the topic straight from my studio. Welcome, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to another day in the Care to Read Room. This show is underwritten by Project 2019. I am your Empress. I'm here to serve you. I am your advisor, and I am your Maliwa, your mother, too. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to say Habari Gani to my old friends, and I like to say what's up to my new friends. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a slight change today and talking more about the season. We're going to try to squeeze in a little holiday spirit for you. That's right. We're going to try to squeeze in a little holiday season because we want you to know all about Kwanzaa, and we don't want to skip over the holiday season. because it's upon us, ladies and gentlemen. This is a very, very special week for me in the holiday season, and I want to bring you carols and merrily and also festivities as well. I noticed that on one of my billboards this week, we are due to talk a little bit about the holiday and to bring the children some carols and music. Now, that's, I think that's set aside for Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. And I don't want to forget to start lighting my candles because we do Kwanzaa throughout the whole year. And tonight I'm going to introduce you to one of the principles of Kwanzaa in between our station identification. We're not going to deviate from our topic, of course. We're going to stay on course, but we will try to infiltrate one of the principles of Kwanzaa. And if you notice, I have been saying Habari Gani, which is also a key Swahili word, a part of Kwanzaa. And I would like to also say Kujitajilia, the ability to name for ourselves, to define for ourselves, the ability to decide for ourselves. And that's all a part of being a tribe. A tribal group is part of differential instructions, ladies and gentlemen. And differential instruction is a very, very popular method that's being used throughout graduate schools these days. And understanding by design is another method that's being used. It does not necessarily mean that you're integrating differentiated instructions for individuals. It means that you're giving individuals a choice to choose from a variety of methods, and we know that we learn five different ways. There are five different methodologies in which we learn through our vision, our auditory, our kinesthetic, and the ability to use our various different methods will allow us to give you differentiated instruction. So this evening, I'm going to incorporate a little bit of my graduate work into what we're talking about just to make you familiar. Now, you notice I've been using the old term paradigm shift. It's an old term. However, differentiated instruction and design by instruction is also a new term, and it's a term that you'll be hearing more of, and your teachers will probably be hearing the differentiated instructions or integrated differentiated instructions and design by methods, and you will hear these terminologies, and I don't want you to be rattled by them because differentiated instruction is nothing but a mere reflection of what understanding by design is. And we look at the whole picture and we go to the end to see what the beginning is going to be. Now, that's sort of like an African concept, a tribal concept. And the reason why I grasped it and was able to inherit what they were saying, the first thing that came to my mind was the African concept, that we never learn from a part. The Africans, believe in learning from the whole to the part. And that's the same thing with differential instruction, where we look at a backward model. It's not necessarily a backwards model. It's a linear model, which you begin to look at the part and go backwards and present a topic and see what it is. What is the essential question? What is it that you want people to accomplish and to learn? And that's why I'm getting at this topic now. We've been talking about tribal concept. And what is the essential question? What is the enduring question that I want you to learn? And the enduring question that I want to ask, first of all, didn't you realize that we were all tribal? And no matter how far away we get from Africa, we still have little Africa here in our backyard. And even the Europeans and other cultures are also tribal. And we create a tribal effect by the way we civilize ourselves and by the way we do things. Now, even in our households, we conduct ourselves in a manner of a civil human being, we think. However, it might deviate from what other cultures deem to be civil. So therefore, every custom has their own little tribe and the way they customarily do things. Now, because we're looking at differentiation and looking at a way to give you an option of doing things, we are allowing you to be yourself. And you're going to thank me for letting you be yourself again in your own society. You're going to thank me for allowing you to be yourself, because every tribe can be different. We do not have to mimic what the other tribes are doing. And it's okay to be genuine. It's okay to be original. It's okay to have your own source of procedures. Just don't deviate too far to the right or the left. Try to stay in the middle. I want to go down the middle and be striding in the middle. Now, but we have to understand that cultures are so different, and probably most of the problems that we get ourselves into are tribal wars and tribal misunderstanding, because we don't understand the other culture. We don't understand why are they doing these customary rituals and traditions. What are they all about? Why do they have to always do that thing called Kwanzaa right after Christmas, when we've already sold all of our merchandise? Now they're on to something new. What is that all about? Is it a spiritual holiday, or is it a customary thing that they do, but they have these rituals? I don't understand them. That's what gets us into trouble, ladies and gentlemen. We violate and disrespect each other's cultural rituals, and then that's when the fight starts. Most of your tribal wars were fought over not only territory, but religion, belief systems, and rituals and customs. And if we can get that little idiosyncrasy thing correct, we can stop a lot of the tribal wars right here in America, in our neighborhood. Didn't you know we had tribal wars in our neighborhood? Whose block is this? Whose corner is this? Who owns this sidewalk? Who runs this yard? Who runs the house? Who handles it in their neighborhood? We hear this topic all day long, ladies and gentlemen. Someone wanting to possess territory, land, or others, or all of the above. But nevertheless, I want you to be on top of things, so when we finish this series, that's what you're going through is a series, you'll say, well, that's a tribal thing. You don't want to get into that. You don't want to even say anything. That's a tribal thing. Let them people go on. Let them go and do their thing, because they're going to do it regardless, or they're going to die trying. People will lay their lives on the line for a tribal belief or a customary belief or ritual. They become so ritualistic that they become no earthly good. And we have got to learn when it's necessary to back off of a tradition or ritual. It's okay if you can't make it to that ceremony and you won't be able to be a part of that christening or that dedicating of that child. You might have to say, videotape it for me, and I'll see it in the sweet by and by when I get home. But we have to understand that there should not be any wars over disagreements of what we think is customarily for another culture. You do not have the right to tell another culture what is customary for them and what is primarily necessary. You do not have the right, because you're infringing upon someone's territory and their civil rights. Now, what do I mean by civil rights? I mean that we have civil rights within our customs and traditions. Why are so many denominations and customs violated? Why are so many rules created to reinforce some customs and not others? Let me give you a case in point. All of the presidents are being acknowledged in the White House. Their busts and their heads are all over the facility. And even we celebrate President's Day. Those are all ancestors somebody worships, and they acknowledge them and call their names out every day, ancestral worshiping. Those names are strong because they are being acknowledged, and they're someone's rituals. However, in the school system, when children see this type of nonsense going on, they walk in, standing from the outside looking in. If they're in an urban setting, in an African-American setting, and they look into that classroom, they want no part of it because it does not include them in it. We're going to have to be very careful, teachers, to include the African-American child into the curriculum to make them a part of a necessary curriculum that really addresses their frame of reference and their world. That's why you had a world, you have a world, ladies and gentlemen, and you might not be in your world currently now, and you might not even be in your right frame of mind because you're in somebody else's frame of mind. And that's part of what is wrong with African Americans. We are so angry. We're so mad because we are forced to be a part of somebody else's world and to ignore our own. That makes us a little mad and a little off kilter. So we walk around with a chip on the shoulder, so to speak, or looking for a fight because we are so angry because we are not expressing ourselves. Well, I'm telling you right now, express yourself. You have to express yourself, or else you will always find yourself wanting. That's part of depression. Unfulfilled obligation, unmet requirement, doubt, and regret brings about depression. That is what's rampant so much in the African community. All of the regret creates the depression and a sorrow in the community. We've got to release this sorrow and complete what it is we started and making sure that we have the opportunity to at all times create rituals in our community, have holiday in our community. I don't care if you say you're a Jehovah's Witness. Some of you are functioning in the capacity of a Jehovah's Witness, but you don't have a clue of the root and the heritage and where these concepts came from. Some of you don't even understand why you're practicing those rituals, but it's very important for you to understand. Having tradition in your family will make you civil. It'll make you sane. It'll make you reasonable. But those of you who do not have rituals and traditions in your life, you probably have a very sad life. Now, let me give you a case in point. The case in point is most people will say, well, why would you celebrate holidays such as Christmas? Aren't those pagan holidays? Aren't those holidays that you want to get away from? I'll say this much to you. There isn't very much to celebrate these days or to accentuate or to elaborate on. Whatever customs we do have, which are two that African American, 2 months out of the year, February and January, and possibly the 7 days behind Christmas. Not very many days to be able to accentuate on, right? So when you get Christmas, and because it may be a pagan holiday, but you ritualistically celebrate it until you came into consciousness, now you want to throw it out with the baby out with the bath. No, you should not do that. You should go on having festivities and having gatherings in your home and meals and serving people and giving gifts and festivities. So what if it's a pagan holiday? So what? Now we know better, and we know that Jesus wasn't born on that day. We have customarily hollowed that day out. So we have created a new holiday. Teach the truth on that day. Teach where the Christmas tree really came from. And teach about whose birthday they were really celebrating. And because of the fact that there's not enough time to go into it, but I'm just going to dabble on it. Yes, we know that Jesus was not born on December the 25th. And we also know that Melchizedek was the one that they were celebrating and that the tree had a symbolic reference. We know all of those things, and we're learning these things now. However, what difference does it make when you've already hollowed that day out and that is the day that your relatives come and that is the day that your family gathers together? The good that comes out of it is what you are aiming for. So don't let anybody tell you, oh, you ought to put down those traditional pagan holidays. Oh, you ought to take that tree down. Oh, girl, why are you burning them? Why are you burning them lights out there? You're going to run your electricity bill sky high. Then let me run it sky high. If I can give some joy to somebody or some hope to somebody or to lift somebody's spirit or to lift even my own, then let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be, little sister. Because I'm telling you that we have got to take the bad and the worst of a situation and make it into good. Because after the bad comes the good. And we cannot change the history. However, we begin to teach and renew minds and consciousness. We do not X out our pagan holidays for the sake of fighting the system. You can't win that way. What you want to do is create festivities in your own neighborhood. When you hollow out that day, then you create your own festivities to sell your products so that you can utilize that day as a money-making marketing day for yourself. So there it is. Take it and use it to your advantage, but don't X it off the calendar and act as if it doesn't exist, and you go on your merry ways, and Christmas comes and goes, and you don't imbibe yourself with any festivities. It's very important that you should imbibe yourself with festivities. Some children are so saddened to the point that they want to give up on life. Some children feel that there's nothing left to accentuate. You must bring your family together. You must talk about why you're accentuating it, because it brings families together and it acknowledges the fact that this is a ritual and tradition, and traditions are sacrifices, and God inhabits your sacrifice. That is why you do it. Now, I won't get on this topic and hang on that for so long, but I want you to take that and put it in your peace pipe and smoke it and wonder about it and stay tuned, because we're going to get up front and personal and comfortable with you in a second. Stay tuned. I'll meet you back in the air for station identification. Time constraint. However, we want to acknowledge our ancestors because we'd be a damn fool if we forget to acknowledge them every day. So if you will go with me, I'd like to offer up libation to Oludunumare. And if you're standing in a position as if you're ready to receive, let's lift up our glasses and pour libation to Oludunumare. And I say, I say. I pour libation to my mother's spirit, Yamanja, and I say, I say. I pour libation to my father's spirit, Obatala, and I say, I say. I light a candle for Obatala, and I say, I say, may you be guided through the light. I light a candle for my mother's spirit, Yamanja, and I say, I say. I pour libation to my mother's spirit, Yamanja, I say. I like to pour libation to the four cardinal directions of the earth, and I say, I say, oh, yea, carry the wind, I say, to the east, I say. I pour libation to the west, and I say, Ashe. I pour libation to the north, and I say, Ashe. And finally, I pour libation to the south, and I say, Ashe. Oh, ye carry the your libation, Ashe. And libation is poured for the benefit of the four cardinal directions. We know we have earth, wind, fire, and water. Water is neutral. It knows no enemy. And we use the water because it is substance for the body and it is substance for all of our ancestors. They need substance to live and they need guided light to guide them back. And we call on our ancestors, your personal ancestors, if you like. I call on Clara Mae Jenkins, Robert Jr. Jenkins, Essalie Polk, Mary Lou Hawkins, Sam Lilly, George Lilly, Tom Harvey, Michelle Harvey, Michael Harvey. I call on the name of Tommy Pete Harvey, Eugene Lilly, Marvin Jenkins, Robert Jr., and I call on those names, and I ask them to reconnect themselves back to the family and allow us to stand on their shoulders. And we say, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. On thee do I wait, and on thee do I beseech for help. Guide us on a path, on a straight path, not on the path of those who have gone astray. And we say, Ashe. Ladies and gentlemen, our children have also looked at us as if they are something wanting because we have not provided for them. This year, make it a special year. Pass the baton onto your children. Sit down and tell them about their heritage. Celebrate Kwanzaa. Implement Kwanzaa. It's not a spiritual holiday. It is a first fruit holiday. It is a holiday which you give offering to God for the funds, the monies, and all of the financial abundance that you have gained throughout the year and giving your first fruit back. Make some donations this year. It's not necessary to be enrolled in someone's church to make a donation. You can give a donation to any cause, clothing, your time and volunteering, but make a donation. It's very important that we give ourselves to volunteer. It's very important that you teach your children about volunteering and giving their time and making donations to the sick and the poor and to those who are without, because it is our responsibility to take care of our needy. It is our responsibility to take care of those who can't take care of themselves. Now, this thing called tribal, we're talking about part two of tribe. And as we talk about part two of tribe, ladies and gentlemen, yesterday we talked a little bit about metaphysics and what the meaning of metaphysics was. And today we welcome you to the tribe of part two. Is it really a tribal thing? And if so, then what makes African Americans tribal? You're invited, ladies and gentlemen, to discuss that. And we'd like to encourage you to come in the room and be a part of this discussion. Is it a tribal thing, and can we invite you? Our chat rooms are open, and we're also inviting you to call in at 646-478-0270. We'd like to have you come in and talk with us about is it a tribal thing? Is it a tribal thing? Now, I want to know. Most people will tell you, this must be a black thing, right? I don't understand, so we can't be a part of it. It's a black thing. Now, let me say for the record, it might just be a tribal thing. You might have it all mixed up, and really you want to ask, is it a tribal thing? Now, when you see black people out in the community and they're talking rather loud, they're conversing, and they're excited, they're having fun, they're airing and bearing their discussion, and they are also talking about what it is that makes them angry. They're eating at the same time. They're doing a multiplicity of things. Someone will walk by of another race and say, that must be a tribal thing. Whenever they get together, they are all harmoniously talking at the same time. It's a tribal thing. Now, that's a part of life for African Americans. When we can sit down and break bread and eat together, we're talking at the same time we're eating. That is a tribal thing, I want you to know. And most Africans will tell you, they're at their best when they're at the table eating, and some of them like a shared meal, and they like to pass the plate around so that everyone can eat off of it. It is a tribal thing. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it whatsoever. Now, I will say this much. There's no accident that the majority of our businesses and our communities are for aesthetics and for beautifying the hair. Once again, the hair. The African Americans are known for their hairdos, and they will purchase their products for their hair. It is a $1 billion business. But why is it that we haven't found it necessary to be a part of that $1 billion establishment to purchase these, not only beauty salons, but these beauty supply houses in our own community so we can circulate the dollar? And we can keep that money flowing so when festivities roll around, we will be able to give all sorts of things back to the community. When you're generous and you become a rich person, you can give back to your community richly and royally. Every year, initially, probably about 10 years ago, I would give a party to the community for Kwanzaa and open up my home for a Kwanzaa celebration with a speaker and a meal. I was known for having a spread that was fit for a king. So people all over the town got word of the meal that was being served on the 7 days of Kwanzaa. Now, I didn't serve a meal 7 days, of course, but I did serve a meal the first day of Kwanzaa, and we allowed ourselves to develop unity. Now, the important thing was that we had gathering and support system, and on the first day of Ijumaa, that's unity. I want you to remember that. That first day is December the 26th. And on December the 27th is Kujitajilia, self-determination. That's when you make the decision to do for yourself and name for yourself. On December the 28th is Ijima, and that is collective work and responsibility, ladies and gentlemen. You must remember that to build and to maintain a community is what we're trying to do here in this room while you work with others in your community to solve a problem. December 29th is Ujamaa, cooperative economics. That's when we pull our economics together to build and maintain our communities, okay, for our businesses and profits from our businesses. We work together. December 30th is NIA, and that's so NIA, and that's purpose, ladies and gentlemen, to make our collective creative ability to work together in the community. December 31st is Kuwamba, creativity. And that's where you get to shine. You can come out and shine and show your ability through arts and crafts and drawings and accentuate on music. To have the ability to create is the best part of all. And January 1st is the last day, and that's Imani. That's faith, the ability to believe in our people. and to teach and to train and to believe in our leaders and to have faith in the struggle. And I want you to remember every day after the 26th, on the 26th and after the 25th, start celebrating Kwanzaa that day. And each day we're going to light a candle after that day, and you use your three candles. You use your seven candles, rather, your three green candles and three red candles and one black candle. And I bet you know what the green is for. The green is for the earth. And the red is for the blood that was shed of all the people that came through the Middle Passage. And the black is for the people. We the people. It's for the people. You ought to go out and get those candles as soon as you can, because those candles need to be burned each day, and they need to be talked about. Now, we're going to talk more about Kwanzaa when we have our children's night. We're going to have festivities and music, and we'll talk about Kwanzaa then. However, let's get back on this tribal thing. As you know, yesterday I talked a little bit about being involved with metaphysics. I explained to you that metaphysics was not magic. Metaphysics is the transferring of energy. It is the transferring of energy through your voice, which you have healing in your voice. It is the transferring of your words, which are very powerful, that can be chanted. And they also have authority, and they can change the element. They can change the cosmic makeup of an element. The very spoken word and the frequency in your body, everything has a frequency. And you are vibrating at a frequency right now. Some of you are vibrating at a more higher calibric frequency, and that means you have the ability to stay healthy and to heal others. You ought to start calibrating your energy frequency so that it's very high. The higher your frequency is, illness cannot exist on a high frequency plane. And you cannot have cancer if you're on an alkaline state. You have to test your body to make sure that it's on an alkaline state and not on an acid base. Death and disease is built on acid base. Tribal people know this, and at one time they stayed very healthy through their diet and through understanding the element of their makeup. When you understand the element of your makeup, you are an atom and you are a machine. Our bodies are nothing more than a machine. But if we are going to use our anatomical bodies to heal and to use our frequency level, then we become something like a metaphysic genius. And that's what we are. We were made magnificently. Don't you know that? You have had all of the internal organs that you need in order to heal yourself. You have always had these facilities there. They have just been slumbered, asleep, and immersed in water. Even in the stem of your brain, the medulla oblongata, your memory bank, all of the cosmic records are there from your ancestors, where all of the things that they have learned, they have transferred over to you. Now, we are going to have a brain balancing as we make this transition into the new millennium. Our brain is going to have to be balanced because the new things that we're going to be transpiring and learning are going to be so overwhelming that the brain may not be able to sustain the information that we are going to be entrusted with. And because we are now making this transition, people are preparing and making ready for this transitional shift, which is about to come up on us on the 21st of this month, December. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that this is no joke or fallacy. Those metaphysicists that are out there, they know this. They know what the temperature is. They're feeling it within their vibrational frequency levels right now. I know I am. And for those gods, I'd like to say good evening, God. I'm sure you know where you are and who you are. It's very important for you to define who you are and let the world know who you are, because they will have need of your services. For the metaphysics work that has been done on this earth up until this point, people have been involved in a secret society. And that's what priestesses have to do. They have to conceal, and they have to take their information and hide it because it is not ready for this time for us to openly bring out all the information. There are some divinations that go forward for the year, which I will be reading a divination for the year or the African community for the year or for the nation. I will be getting more into divinations and more into readings for the community, not necessarily for individuals. You must understand it takes a lot of energy and a lot of time to be a part of a full-blown role of a priestess. That would mean that you could not be involved in anything else but functioning as a priest because you become something like a metaphysics to the community, and you must serve the community, and you must make yourself available to the community for healing and also for giving directions for people's lives. That is an ultimate responsibility. Now, some of you can take up that responsibility full-time or part-time. However, at this particular time, I have not opted to take it up full-time. I will say this much. Those metaphysics that are out there, they are feeling the change of the frequency level right now. They understand what is happening because our bodies are vibrating unusually at a high frequency. And those who will catch a glimpse of the frequency level can be healed. They can be healed. If they're sick among you with palsy, you need only get into the path of the vibration because the frequencies will be moving. And those who are highly frequented that have the frequency will be able to change the cosmic balancings of the earth. And these things are going to be changing. And hypothetical situations will be happening when this new millennium comes in. It will be visible to the naked eye. I don't know if you guys know about the Dogon people who were tribal people in Africa. The Dogon people were the ones who sat and waited for God to make his visitation. They were also the African people who saw the Sirius star A and B with their naked eye without a telescope. These were very spiritual people who were actually tribal people who waited for God to come to visit them on a regular basis. Some of them, their mere job was sitting to wait for God. They were very, very spiritual people. The tribal people that we are, we must learn where we came from. What is our nature? What is the nature of a tribal person? And when you see a tribal person acting in a certain manner, is that a tribal thing? And if so, can we do anything to change it? Or should we do anything to change it? We should be conscientious of what is really ours and what belongs to us and what is Westerners. Do you know enough about your tribal concept to know what actually belongs to you, and that is what your tribal nature is? But we are so busy being angry with one another that we have given the impression that our nature is to be angry at each other. Our nature is not to be cross at our own brothers and sisters. It's supposed to be a loving nature. That is something we need to address and change. That is not a tribal thing. It is not a normal thing to be upset with your African male significant other. It is not a natural thing for the brother to be upset with his sister, because a tribal thing would mean that you would embrace and love and that you would show and demonstrate that love wherever you are. It is a natural thing for an African to be generous and to give anything that he has in his substance. That is a natural thing. Now, that's a tribal thing. Most Africans by nature are generous. They are like the Native American brother. When you see something that they're wearing, and if you demonstrate you would like to have it, they take that object off and give it to you so you won't have the tendency to come up on that person and to steal it from them. They understand the concept of being generous. That's a tribal thing. Now, if you had an opportunity to make some adjustments in your life, would you take the opportunity to read up on what is really tribal, what really belongs to the African race, and what is uniquely a part of our character, and what isn't? Would you make the adjustment? Well, you're going to have to make those adjustments, because December